It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The All Smiling Faces podcast is now sponsored by TyreSpot, the Northeast's leading tyre supplier with branches across the region. TyreSpot don't just do tyres. They cover everything from servicing to wheel alignment. They can handle every aspect of your car's maintenance. For more information, visit tyrespot.co.uk. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel and podcast. Myself and Decker are back tonight to look back over that Everton game and discuss many other things, all Newcastle United related. And before we get going, if anybody does have any questions or if you just want to comment in throughout the show, we will be going for around about an hour. Just throw in a comment and we will go through as many as possible. Won't we, Decker?
Absolutely.
We will. Yeah. So, Decker, it's only been a handful of days, the highs and lows of Newcastle United. Yeah. So, Saturday's performance, or second half performance, we'll turn things around. And it's a comeback to remember, one of the best games St. James's Park has witnessed in X amount of years, in decades, probably up there with the best. And you look at PSG, the comeback for the Arsenal, and so on and so on and so on. Then you have Everton coming to town. Everton, who are probably the benchmark this season for a poor side in the Premier League. The long ball specialists, as many would class. And to be fair, over the years, I've probably defended Sean Dyche and thought, hey, he's not too bad of a manager. He gets a bad rep. That was some long ball football I saw yesterday. But then, yes, we'll have the comeback v Arsenal. Then we'll have the collapse v Everton.
Aston Villa, what came back against?
Again.
I mean, West Ham, sorry.
West Ham. No, sorry.
No, it wasn't Arsenal.
It wasn't Arsenal. It was West Ham. It's because you're here. I've got Arsenal on the brain.
Sorry, apologise.
It is because we're having a conversation about Arsenal on the wheel. But against West Ham, yes. Degger, explain it. What's going on?
Well, I think I've calmed down a lot since last night.
Since the
game had finished. I was really annoyed at the end of the game for multiple reasons, really. But I think what... I have took a little bit more stock and a little bit more of a balanced approach, I think. And I think what I'm kind of realizing is that, and this is going to sound ridiculous when I say this, but more and more, I think with the modern game, it's not 11 players that's going to win you the game. It's more and more about who can come off the bench to affect a game.
Yeah.
Right. More and more, I feel that that's happening. And I just feel, and I did say this on Monday, to be fair, that I thought Everton would be a tough one given the fact the amount of injuries and
personnel available.
And I think that we started like a house on fire. I thought we were excellent, to be fair, for a long, long period of the game. And I know we'll go into a bit more detail. We had multiple chances to be able to kill them off. But I did feel that the longer the game went on, then we're coming more and more back into it. And
I agree.
We were almost playing into their hands with our approach and style. And then obviously we made subs along the way, which of course we'll get onto one of them, but I thought we were losing a little bit of gas and we just didn't have personnel to try and ignite.
I agree. I think the first half, we managed that first half very well.
Really good.
Just contained our stamina, really. Didn't really hit them too hard, but we just knew that game was ours. We knew that goal as soon as the first whistle started, hence why we had umpteen opportunities. You could just see that Everton weren't really... I want to say they weren't up for the fight because they just didn't really seem overly interested throughout the game, apart from towards the end, where we saw a little bit of a change, but not much. But the first half, yes, it was Newcastle's. That was Newcastle's game to lose. Fortunately, we didn't. But I think, as you said, as the game went on, the second half, as soon as the lads came out from the second half, it just seemed like we just expected to win that to a certain degree. We thought, we've already seen what they can offer in the first half.
Yeah, which
they don't have anything else going forward, which I thought just allowed us to sit back a little bit. But it's probably what you're saying once again, that it goes down to personnel. And maybe it is playing on the player's mind that they're here for 90 minutes and there's not really much to look at on the bench to come off and change things. Maybe that's been a huge part as well.
Yeah, I think as well, you've got to remember, like, if Barnes hasn't played much football either. So he's playing, you know, we're trotting him out there for 90 minutes.
He's a bit tired because he hasn't got as many minutes under his belt, you know. Elliot Anderson's another one who I do want to mention at some point. How impressed I am with him, I still think he's a great, really good player in there.
Mm.
But again, he hasn't played much football.
Yeah.
So again, when you're asking him to start games, he's going to start to tire, you know, within games. Kraft's the same.
Try your mate against. Gone already. People that watch the Monday Night Show will realise that this is something that happens with Decker's mic.
I don't know. We're
all going to replace Decker's mic.
Is it back on?
It's straight back on, mate.
All right, okay. I'm literally not going to touch it again. Kraft's another one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Hall's another one. The problem is you're bringing in these players, right? But they haven't played much football. So the might start, which they did yesterday, you know, perfect. Exactly what you were expecting. I just feel maybe tactically, I'd never feel we'll manage a game correctly, mate. Like, I say never. That's a strong.
Do you think that? I agree to you to an extent, but do you think that we can't really look too far past the injury situation which we have as well when it comes to managing the game, because Eddie Howe hasn't got much at the minute to manage the game with to a certain extent.
But we're 1-0 up in that game with 20, you know, 15, 20 minutes to go, and there were still times where then we're breaking them and we only had two or three at the back. Well, I don't understand how we... I appreciate, I know people will say, well, you've got to try and get the second goal. But I just think sometimes it's gung-ho football at times that I see. And it was like basketball again in the second half where we had an opportunity, we missed. Woof, them were breaking up the other end. I don't know. It just seems to, why can't we not? We don't seem to be able to keep hold of possession, run the clock down. It's just this absolute gung-ho approach of like, we're bombing forward and then we had five, six, seven. There was one, we had five or six players in their box, which I know in a sense is great. We lost the ball and we looked vulnerable, you know, within seconds up the other end. And it's, I don't know. I just think sometimes we just seem to not shoot ourselves in the foot, but it is very. I keep mentioning this basketball term of just end to end, all the time, and I still think that's worrying. Like,
I think Everton figured out quite early on that our left hand side was a hell of a lot better than the right hand side, because it seemed like everything that they wanted to do just went down that side, where you had Kraft and Murphy on the right hand side.
Yeah.
Whereas the left hand side, you had Barnes, and we saw the best of Barnes against West Ham. But it was a slight difference performance from Barnes, because against West Ham, he was on the receiving end of the passage of play. Whereas against Everton, it seemed like he was the one trying to create that to a certain extent. Him and Anderson were linking up pretty well on the left-hand side.
Very impressed with quite a bit. I was very impressed with both of them. I thought Barnes was more almost trying to emulate Gordon a little bit more in regards to picking the ball up deep and really charging, if that makes sense. I actually at times got mixed up between Anderson and Barnes a little bit, to be honest at times. But yeah, I have to say, I thought Anderson looks, he's a good player. He's a good footballer. Him, very good on the ball. He'll have it in tight areas.
It's just a shame that his season was hindered by injury.
Because
this was going to be his technically breakthrough season, even though we've seen him before.
But he's a very good
player. Was his chance with the European football and obviously the cup football, which was along the lines. And
It's a funny one, though. You think about the game. The opening minute there, Pickford pulls off a hell of a save. Is that Barnes, is it? So is it Anderson that has that shot, which is saved by Pickford? Hell of a save. It's the first opening couple of minutes. You've got the one where Hall does brilliantly to get a ball across, which then Murphy smashes and Pickford saves. Like, there's moments in the game where you could have went in 2 or 3-0 up, to be quite honest, really. And, you know, it's frustrating. And then, obviously, I just felt in the second half the lads began to tire. Everton grew in confidence, then made three good substitutions as well, bringing on Calvert-Lewin, the Ruan Gomez and someone else. It was three they made that were very adventurous subs, I thought.
That's when you saw things change slightly, because you think, right, they've got fresh legs coming on. And we, let's be honest, looking at the bench, you only had Joe Willock in the bench. That's really going to cause an impact. I was going to say an impact, but somebody did manage to cause an impact for the other reason.
The UFC fighter. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get on to him in just a bit. But you're right what you're saying. I think looking at that bench, and even before kickoff, you looked at the available players to come on and impact after the starting 11. Willock's your only real option there.
Yeah, Richie was on the bench, but again, I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you're saying, yeah.
It just seems like, as much as I want to criticize that performance, because it was bad in the second half, as much as I want to criticize it, I can't look past the injuries and the players. I can't.
No, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you, 100%. And I think, I actually think sometimes I'm quite negative, sometimes the way I come across, the more I think about it. But even I was annoyed yesterday, but I was annoyed for one reason, which we'll get to eventually. But you can't be, can you? Because the lads are going out there, and as I've mentioned this before, as I have earlier, a lot of the players that we're relying on to come in and play haven't played much football to start with. So they're obviously going to tire. It's different if you go two or three up, because then obviously their heads drop, their belief drops, and you probably just coast through to the end. But when it's 1-0, you just always have that feeling. You know. To be fair, I'm saying we did have a couple of chances. Tarkowski had a hell of a chance in the first half. Their header. Them could have went 1-0 up. He's got to score there. So, you know, they'll probably see them had chances as well. But we were definitely the better side. I just felt this as the second half went on, I was getting more and more concerned that we're letting them. I mean, they hit the post, which was a hell of a chance. Shea made a great challenge, could have been another one.
Let's let that lead slip, which we've seen so many times this season, isn't it? Especially at home.
We've dropped some real a lot of points against opposition we would have expected to have hammered, or certainly beat. Sorry,
so you're looking at Forest, Luton, Bournemouth.
Yeah, Bournemouth
as well.
A few people have actually tweeted us today with, you know, we've dropped 12 points against these teams. It's football, it happens, but I suppose it shouldn't, though, right? But I agree with your point that we've said a lot of times, we're at the bottom of the barrel here. We are actually.
We definitely were last night.
Yeah, last night we were there, which is sad. It's very sad.
I think, do you know what it is? I think if we look at individual performances, we'll have to look at Isak as well. Isak, an absolute fantastic finish. Great passage of play from Isak. He's just skipping around players in the box as what he does best. He done similar against Everton, obviously last time. Time before that was last season.
When I explained them, yeah.
Was that when he got the assist of the assist?
That's right, yeah.
And was it Murphy that?
Murphy scored.
Murphy scored. So he got the assist of the assist.
It was a slight deflection, didn't it?
It did, yeah. But then last night, you obviously saw him skip past a few more players. And just one of those at that Braithwaite, that's obviously... expect to have big things ahead of him as well.
I'm not sure what he was doing.
He put him in a knot.
Yeah, it was surprising. He went, if he doesn't go to ground there, ultimately he might not score that chance. But him going to ground then opens it up. However, Isak is falling over, and to be able to bend it around Pickford, it was a wonderful goal.
Great.
Barnes did. It was a great pass from Barnes as well.
And do you know what it is? When we went 1-0 up, I thought we can get a few. Yeah, I honestly thought tails are up. We can get a few, and like you said, the opportunities came. And Isak gets an opportunity where he just hits, it's cleared off the line. Anywhere else the goal, he's got everywhere to hit, and he just hits it down line. But what you see more from Isak now, he's done a very similar against West Ham. He's looking for the ball now, rather than just waiting for the ball. He's going looking, hunting for the ball. He's dropping into the midfield areas. He's probably thinking, well, I don't really have any option from midfield. Yeah, I need to go and get the ball myself. You saw him dropping out on the right quite a bit as well last night, and that's what I love about Isak. It was just a shame last night that when he was going hunting for the balls in those positions, there was nobody really there to go and fill in his position, which you would probably see if Gordon was on the field. It's just a shame. But do you know what? As much as I like Isak, he's a fantastic player, and I hope he stays at this football club for a long, long time. You can see him getting better as the games go on. But that opportunity later on in the game, he should be burying that one.
Is that the one off the line?
Off the line.
Yeah, I think... I mean, he scored 19 goals, hasn't he, this season?
Yeah, that's great.
And I believe, you know, Premier, is that, yeah. So, you know, listen, the guy's incredible. And he's missed a bit of the season as well.
I think it's 18 or 19 Premier League goals.
Yeah. That's incredible. I don't think, it's probably since Shearer. I can't recall
it's a great any, record.
I can't recall another player scoring that many Premier League goals. The guy's incredible. Honestly, I love him a bit. Just everything about me is a class. The one slight negative you would say is, you probably know in that game he's going to miss a chance. Like, you know, and I suppose, isn't it? Haaland misses chances as well.
It comes with a strike. Doesn't it?
He is going to miss the odd chance, and he does. West Ham was similar, right? West Ham, you know, I know he scored two pens and set a goal up, but he also had a few misses as well. But I absolutely love everything about him. I will say, when we first signed him and I seen him, I was thinking, I'm not sure enough he'll be physical enough to be able to handle playing up front in the Premier League. Absolutely incorrect. Yeah. Like, you know, I was totally wrong. And I agree with you. Obviously, Wilson's, when he plays, and I've nothing against Wilson, but he's more of a classic number nine that you would expect. Whereas Isak, as you say, he'll drift, get involved, cause overloads in certain areas. And technically, he's so, so good. And he's a player that I appreciate he's been linked left, right, and centre, rightfully so, right, with other clubs.
Of course. Yeah.
But I think he came out with a quote today saying, hey, man, listen, I'm more than happy here. I love being here. I'm part of the project, et cetera, et cetera.
It's great hearing those quotes, Digger. They don't always stay that way, do they?
No, you're right. Because there was a one which I think maybe got lost in translation slightly, was like, oh, well, you don't know about the future.
Yeah.
And it's them ones where I'm like, oh, that's keeping us up at night. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to lose them, you know? But no, he's a fantastic player. And I just think, I mean, imagine if he was in an all-firing, I'll say an Arsenal side. I mean, God, he could score. God knows how many. Like, he's that good.
So I know over the last couple of years, yeah, we've looked around the team and thought, which are the players you need to keep a hold of? And no, as a people automatically argue Bruno, which I agree with 100%. Isak is up there as well for me. Like
100%, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
Those two are fantastic footballers.
Yeah, there's probably three players. There's probably four that you would have to say that, you know, you keep. No, you know, you four, have to keep. Well, Gordon for me, Gordon, Bruno, Isak, Joe Linton. They're the four for me. The one that would have been immediately in there, and to be fair, this is quite harsh, is Botman. I think Botman's, because he could be, I think I said this when we signed him, he could be our company in terms of really seeing the beginning of the project all the way at the end.
I don't know what that return from injury is going to be.
The injury, we don't know, but let's hope that wouldn't be the case. But I think you've got 4/5 there that are invaluable, invaluable. You've got
I think it's about time we started looking at the goal that we concede. So you mentioned bottom of the barrel sort of stuff, and Paul Dummett was given the new contract, not only just to be a cheerleader, but be there just in case this sort of situation happened. We managed to get to the bottom of the barrel, Digger. We were scraping the barrel, and Paul Dummett comes on at left back. I couldn't tell you the last time he featured in a game. It's probably the cup games against Man City, Man U, and Chelsea, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because I think he's only had 4 minutes of Premier League football or something until yesterday. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
He's obviously coming in. He's probably full of nerves. Wrong side of 30. Let's remember that. And he's been on the field for a matter of minutes, Decker. And he takes a page out of Diamond Dallas's pages. Notebook and just scrapbook and just DDTs him.
Yeah,
such a strange thing when the ball is going nowhere near. It's actually Young that he puts the pile driver on. Absolutely going nowhere near him. Nobody's getting that apart from Dubravka. He's picking that out of the air. He's plucking it out of the air all day long. And dumb it, what happens? What goes through his mind? Is that just rustiness? Is it stupidity? Is it a bit of everything?
It probably is a bit of everything. I think. See, I got a bit of shit on Twitter for saying, you know, that I've said this for years. I cannot believe he's still here, right? And I've said this from...
You don't need to remind me because I'm in the same side of the garden.
I just cannot believe it. Like, you know, but anyway, right, he's here. He might sing good songs behind the scenes or whatever he does. But then someone then called us out and said, he's not fit and he hasn't played much. Like, he'll not be up to full fitness and stuff like that. I don't care how fit you are. You don't DDT someone on the field. Like, it doesn't matter how fit you are. That doesn't make any. That's not. If you got absolutely done for pace or something like that, or you got, you know, totally rinsed.
Fair enough,
right? You're rusty and all the rest of it. But he's the wrong side of 30. But that's experience. Then he's experienced games, right? He's played against all the opposition. I appreciate maybe not lately, but for him to think there's just no reason for him to do that at all. Like, it's not stopping the goal scoring opportunity. It's not that the guy's one-on-one. He's thinking, I'm just going to have to bring you down. Or it's absolute nonsense. Like, it's nonsense. The ball is never... He's never going to get that ball. There's a little bit of tussling, but he clearly, like, has a hold of him by the neck almost and just drags him to the ground. It's almost as if he forgot a VAR exists. Like, it's as if, like, the referee will not see it, which, to be fair, the ref didn't, right? But obviously, the cameras aren't going to miss that, mate.
I don't think anybody in the ground seen it, to be fair, mate.
No, I agree. You could tell by Young's claims something had happened. Yes. Like, you could just tell, couldn't you?
So, in the ground in the moment, like, obviously, the play continues. Then, obviously, it goes out of play. Then they come over. The Tannoy system saying VAR check, possible penalty to Everton. And we think, what's happened there? looking back on the photos now, the photographers that have taken the photo after the game, you can see that Ashley Young is screaming for that penalty, and there's a couple of others. It's mental, Decker. It's absolutely mental. We have literally controlled the first half, I would say, and there's a tiny little blip in the second half where obviously they hit the post, which we mentioned there. Yeah. But other than that, they had no threat whatsoever, nothing. And in the 88th minute thereabouts, we have gone and gifted them a goal scoring opportunity. And 9 out of 10 times you're going to score from the penalty spot, even though it was what's his face that was taking it.
And, yeah, Calvert Lewin's 23 games all comp, so yeah.
Doctor Newcastle.
It was one of their moments. It's funny when he come on and we were chatting, saying, and I was like, God, the old Newcastle, like, this is where you'll score. Like, you know, this is what we are. It's what we were, sorry. But, I people are not like it. Like, but I'm sorry to say, but these mistakes happen because it's the same players that were in that position all them years ago. It was the likes of Dummett doing mistakes. And all right, he had decent performances here and there, but...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Is it any surprise that a player that comes on of that quality does a mistake and it costs you? It doesn't surprise me.
Like, it wasn't just that, Decker. Yes, he gives a penalty away, but it was just back to, honestly, the amount of flashbacks that I was getting away. For some reason, Paul Dummett just can't advance the ball up the field. He physically can't do it. He was getting in players' way on the left-hand side. Then bad. Every time he got the ball, he passed it back to Byrne or back to Longstaff in the centre of the field. Then Longstaff was just passing it further up the line. Yeah. I was like, this is painful, this. Like,
it was back to them days. And now people are going to say, but he hasn't played much. Dummett could play football every single day of the week if that's what you want him to do. But that's what he'll do every day of the week. There's no difference in what he did from what he used to do. It was infuriating the amount of times he got the ball and he physically looked at the option down the line and went,
I think it was Willock. Willock was screaming at him for the ball, and there was a player closing him down, but you could have still reached the ball. But it's just telling that you look at the Everton players, and when Paul Dummett had the ball, they just thought, well, just have it.
We're
not going to close you down, just have it, because we know you're not going to go anywhere with that.
No, you're right. And again, them other things that this is still a reason why he shouldn't be here. That'd be very clear. But they're the things that I come to expect and go, right, okay, he's so limited in possession. But the mistake that mistake he does, that you cannot do that. Like, I don't care if you're fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth choice centre half. I don't care.
Yeah.
You do not come on a football field and DDT someone in the box. Yeah, like,
you can't be brain dead, especially that moment in the game.
And it's just mad. Like, people were saying, well, he's with fifth choice, he doesn't play. It's irrelevant, that. That's absolutely irrelevant. I didn't care if he's fifth choice. You don't go on the field and do that. That's it. You just don't
do it. A lot of people, obviously, yes, when Hall's gone off with cramp, I believe it was Hall went off. He went down a couple of times towards the end of the game. You saw that substitution coming on. I thought Richie would have came on.
I did as well. Oh, I actually did, yeah. Because when Dummett was coming on, I had to almost, it sounds stupid, but, you know, check who was on the bench. I thought Richie was on the bench, because I thought Richie would have come on. Yeah, I did. I really did, yeah.
I thought the same, so I was shocked when Dummett...
Because Richie's had a little bit more minutes, right? He's like...
I was shocked to a certain extent, but then, like we said, we're about down to the bones of a horse, really. So it was a flip of a coin who was coming on.
Yeah.
Dummett or him. Hindsight, I would probably just not replace the Hall.
Well, yeah, I want to mention Hall.
Yeah, he's great, wasn't
he? I thought he was excellent. And I'm really, really happy for him. And I feel like he's going to be the one I'm going to hang on a bit here. Because I've mentioned this a few weeks now. I get very annoyed at the constant seem to... I suppose, actually, it's not gripes towards Hall in it to a degree. It's also how not picking him. But yeah. I just feel his name's getting mentioned all the time. And the poor hasn't done that. You know what I mean? He hasn't played. But again, I thought he looked excellent. So composed on the ball. And listen, he did give it away a couple of times. But I mean, I'll go back to that cross he put in for Murphy. Like, I thought there's no way he can get a cross in here.
Yeah.
But he did. He managed to get a cross in. He looked dead comfortable on the ball. I know I appreciate Everton aren't the greatest of threats going forward, so he wasn't maybe tested much defensively, you might add. But I thought he was very, very good. Yeah. I thought he was great.
He's looked decent in the last handful of games, mate.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
He really hasn't.
There's a player there, right? There's a player in there.
Of course. Yeah. Of course there is. So we do have a couple of talking points, which we're going to put on screen for those that are watching live on YouTube tonight. So one of them is in relation to that situation which we have at left back and centre back. I know those that have watched the Monday night Always Smiling Face podcast will realise that this is a talking point which we get onto quite a lot. And it's Dan Byrne, the centre back or the left back. Which is he, Degger?
He's a centre half without any doubt, Mark, if you're watching, mate. However, like, he was quality last night.
Mm.
He was really, really good. Made some fantastic challenges. Bless him, he scored. But it was disallowed for offside.
Oh, like lovely moves, like, rather. Funny as eyelash. Oh, I
don't know. I think so, yeah. Better than what Mark would say. But yeah, all right, it was so tight, you know. But yes, there was a few headers he did that were like, well, not, they were last ditch. Some of them were, to be fair, they were last ditch. He got rid of them. It just suits him, right? It suits him. He can see the game better. He was absolutely outstanding, I thought, last night, Burnley.
Yeah, I agree with you. And do you know what it is? Like I said, we do have this discussion quite a lot. And I can't say why people say that Dan Byrne is a left back. But yes, he's a centre back that plays on the left hand side. So if needed, he can go into that left back position. So I just, these have been sent across by Bestie. And I think Bestie was wanting to mention these on Monday night show, but we never actually got around to because he wasn't really getting a bite. But there's just a couple of things which I want to mention. So going back to Dan Byrne playing out Wigan, he played, let's have a look, 107 games at centre back, four at left back. Moving across to Newcastle, 23 centre back, 69 at left back. This was before last night's game, I believe, which obviously we know that he's played a lot more at left back because obviously Matt Target was injured and he's had to fill in that position.
And Hussein Botman.
And Hussein Botman, yeah. At Brighton, he played 43 games at centre back, 38 at left back, and 2 randomly in left midfield.
Great.
At Fulham, 66, and then 1 at right back. You can go on and on and on. The majority of his career's stats have been him playing at centre back.
Yeah.
We saw the best of Dan Byrne last night. Dan Byrne is, and you know what is, I'm probably one of these that I've jumped on Dan Byrne's back. It's quite a big jump, but I've managed to get there. To jump on his back and at that left-back position and pointed the blame at him for quite a lot of the goals which I've conceded throughout the season. Honestly, last night and what we've seen recently from him, and when he first came to Newcastle United, what you see him on that left-hand side of the centre-halves, he's a great player.
He really is, yeah. And this is what, when he's been playing left-back and he's been getting called, I just don't understand what people, like, if you've got eyes, right, you can see there's a problem there when he plays left back. It's so obvious. It's so, so obvious. And everyone, again, I was getting this for Dummett last night. Oh, picking on a local lad. I was getting it last night, and you get it for saying Dan Byrne.
You get it for
I don't
stuff,
care if he's from Jupiter, man. I didn't care. I'm just telling you what I see on the field, and I'm telling you now, when he plays left back, we've got an issue. Like, and when he plays centre half, he's absolutely amazing. So you tell me. So what were Byrne fans saying? Byrne's, you know, Mark, for example, bang on his left back. Surely he must have watched that game last night, and there must have been an ounce of him thinking, "Craig, he's been amazing tonight at centre-half." Or do you think they're going, no, he's just as good left-back. He's better, actually, he's better at left-back. You can't.
Well, obviously, people know I'll sit next to Mark at the game. Me and Mark had a season ticket next to each other for a long, long time. And as rightly so, Mark kept on giving Dan Byrne credit throughout the game. And I kept on saying, and he was keep on nudging me as if I don't give him credit. And I was like, well, we've said all along he's a better centre-back. And I kept on going, well, do you realise now that this is his position?
Yeah.
Then obviously I've never seen anybody celebrate a goal when Byrne hit in the back of the net. But
honestly, he didn't put a foot wrong. He was brilliant,
he's great,
man. He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And I love it when he plays there.
Mm.
He would play there every single week for me.
Callum Lewis has sent a comment in. He says, Byrne had done the post-match interview with Newcastle United yesterday. And that question was asked to Byrne. And he said, by trade, my position is at centre-back.
There we go. We've literally had an argument with Mark, and I've shouted at him going, even Byrne thinks he's a centre-half. And he's like, no. Play left-back all the time, blah, blah, blah. He's not, man. He's not. And I will say, what does get me tingles, Garnier, let's go away from Byrne for 1 second, I'll come back to it, is the thought of Hall, you know, more game time, fitness, that style, Tino on the right, that you know, that foot, them fullbacks,
yeah,
bombing up and down, athleticism, up and down the field. And then you think of the players who've got to come back. Oh, I'm telling you, you know, the team will be exciting. It'll be a great sight.
And you look at the situation which we find ourselves in now. You've got Botman, which is out for, 6-9 months, the same with the Cells. He's going to be out until probably his contract is close to expiring anyway. Mm. And people thought, oh, we need to bring 2 centre-backs in. We need to bring this in. We need to bring that in. You've got one right there in Dan Byrne.
Yeah.
He's one straight away.
Byrne. What I mean, you lose Botman, which is awful, right? But I'm telling you now, the replacement of Byrne is outstanding. What a replacement! I mean, Byrne is class-like, and in that performance last night was identical to the performances when he very first came.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I can't remember his first game, but he was excellent. I remember, and the Chelsea away one was on that. So I thought he was outstanding, and he lost Havertz for a second in the last minute and scored, but he was man of the match. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, God, every single game he played was amazing. And then obviously, as you rightfully say, Torga got hurt. He got slightly moved out of position. Moved to left back. And then this seemed to just stay a trend all the time. Now, of course, people will be saying, but we finished fourth and we had the best defence in the league and he played left back. I get that. But as I've said time and time and time again, the punched above the weight. And unfortunately, this season, we've seen the real true sort of maybe line in the sand. Maybe a bit worse than what maybe they are. But for me, he's a centre-half. Botman's out. He should play there till the rest of the season. God forbid he doesn't get hurt, by the way, because we need him. Because if we lose him, I don't know what we're going to do.
100%, 100%. And it just proves that point once again that, yes, we'll have probably pointed the blame at Byrne for quite a bit this season. We have done. That wasn't just a criticism of him as a person, but obviously just playing in that position. We were never really comfortable with it. Yes, he done really well last season, but everybody played well last season. Every single player on that field played well last season. So everybody's tail was going to be up. Everybody was going to be full of confidence.
Yeah.
But then it switched where teams started targeting that left-back position. Our opposition started targeting that.
And also to add is the cover that you had from Joe Linton on that left-hand side of midfield, the work that Joe Linton would put in to cover that side of the field to help the legs of Byrne, now that he's injured, he's even more exposed. So it just gets harder, right? It's just the way it is. And as you say, teams have a plan. Teams work out maybe our frailties, and they've targeted that area of the field.
Which obviously we can look at the confidence which the defence have in our goalkeeping situation at the minute, which is going to be our next talking point here. So it's about Martin Dubravka. A lot of groans around St James's Park last night, because I think last night was basically a showreel of how Martin Dubravka does not come off his line. Because there was a few times where there was just, because like we said at the very start of this show, that Pickford just liked to lump that ball up the field and a flick on, then the ball's away. A few times Dubravka just refused to move back. And there was a couple of times where I think Fabian Shaw was one, Emile Kraft was one, where the ball's there for Dubravka to pick up, but they have no confidence in that. Or Dubravka hasn't shouted, but don't know. I don't totally want to say Dubravka didn't shout. Because he might have done. It might just be the players not listening. But for two players to do that in one game.
Well, that was what stood out to me, actually, was what you've just said there. And that was, I didn't know if you were going to reference that or not. I will add, when he came out and done a header, panicked. I couldn't believe what was going on. He did that right, like, by the way, it was fine. But then with the moments that stood out for me, that Shea, especially, there was one where that was Dubravka's ball. And actually, Shea took it in quite a difficult area, really. That did shock us, like, but. So the question I'm guessing is, what do you mean? Sorry.
Stick or twist?
As in Karius?
As in carry on for the rest of the season, or does Karius come in? Because there's a lot of questions in regards to the penalty as well, because he gets a full hand to it. I'm not focusing too much on that because he smashes that penalty. Yes, if he goes with two hands, he probably does save it, but how many keepers do you see saving penalties with two hands? It is normally a one-hand save. It's not a great penalty apart from this power in it.
No,
it's a perfect height. If it does go slightly further to Dubravka's right, he probably saves that because he will get his fingertips to it. But the fact that it just hits the top of his palm and goes over, I don't think that's necessarily Dubravka's fault. I think you're going to find it very hard for a goalkeeper to save a shot of that power. But
I thought he was unlucky on that one, to be fair. He went the right way. He did get a strong hand of it. Now, I'm normally the one. If you get a strong hand of it, you should save it.
Yeah.
But he hit it really, really. He hit it hard.
Oh, he lashes at it.
You know, he just hits. Yeah, I thought it was. I can't blame him for that. Like, no. I think Howe's not going to change him. Like, that's what I'd say. Now, my honest opinion is, it's a tough one because Karius, I wouldn't say he's ever done anything wrong necessarily. Mm. You know what I mean?
Do you know what it is? I quite like Dubravka. I think the four of us that normally sit around here, I'm probably the one that defends Dubravka the most and try to shift the blame towards those in front of him, thinking, well, they're the ones letting people get in these opportunities and blah, 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 blah. And maybe it's a lack of confidence that he has in his defence and of not just the defence that having him. I'd defend him quite a lot. So personally, I let him carry on until the end of the season. I give him another contract and he stays next season as a second choice. But I think that's what he is right now, second choice.
Yeah, I think with Karius, you know that he's gone. He's been told that. Yeah. So there's no incentive, is there? Like, unless he thinks if I play really well, I'll get another club perhaps or something. Yeah. But at the same time, Dubravka in, for example, last night's game, or I could say the West Ham game, like, but, you know, I think I was thinking this, and I've stuck with you, you know, so far. Mm. I think the only way he's not going to be in goal is through injury. But again, next season, I think that will be a position that's massively looked at. Because obviously Pope will be back.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
Well, news came. I know. He's going to miss the rest of the season now.
Yeah. You will. And that's so. But you just got to get him right for next season.
I think most of will call that at the start. When he first got the injury, that would be lucky to see him.
But yeah, I think. My worry is, I'm not saying drop me, all right? But my worry is, though, I don't think the defence are confident with him. Like, to be fair, I just don't see it.
Is that referring back to what we saw against Everton as well?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. There's a few times, and I think there is a problem with his starting position a lot of times. And you're right, Pickford was blasting it forward, and his starting position's so rigid. You know what I mean? He's scared to come out, if you like, and he's never going to change now. He's too old to change. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. But I think we'll stick with him till the end of the season. I really do. But I will say we're going to concede more goals. That's just going to just get on with it, because we are.
Yeah. This is what we do now. Yeah, this is what we do, mate. Yeah. We concede. There's a comment in from the Blower King that says, last night was gutting. Just hope we can somehow build on our squad without losing Bruno, Isak. That's what we mentioned the earlier on. We're in full agreement there.
Thought Bruno was very good last night in moments. He was.
So that is going to be the next point. So the next talking point is going to be Bruno. Before we get on to that talking point, if you're watching this one, just like the video, means a lot to us. Become a subscriber. It costs you nothing to do that. If you want to give an extra bit back, it is just $2.99 a month to become a member. You get early access to videos. You get access to the Telegram group as well, which is full of like-minded Newcastle United fans talking all things Newcastle, believe it or not. And you do get extra videos as well. You'll see the Mark versus Deca series has picked up the last couple of weeks. There's another one just been released this morning, which the lads go around the world, not physically.
We don't get that much money.
We don't get paid that much. We don't get jetted off. But Deca and Mark go head-to-head yet again and try and guess the flag and a player that is from that country that has played for Newcastle United. So $2.99 a month. Get on it. Next talking point, Deca, like you mentioned there, it is going to be Bruno. Bruno had another fantastic game last night, carrying that side at times. We've mentioned this God knows how many times in a row now. What I saw from Bruno last night was something different, and probably what we saw since we've been waiting and expecting this yellow card to come from the service ban. Bruno, could he be a future Newcastle United captain?
So for me, it was funny because I was thinking about this myself yesterday. And I was actually talking to some of the lads today about it. When I think of the team that we have, he has to be the next captain. That's how I feel. And I think the reasons I'll say that, I think it depends, right? Because some people will have the argument, and isn't everyone's entitled, but some people think, you know, is he going to be the person that'll get in someone's face and shout at them in the changing rooms, gee them up? I'm not so sure that a captain always has to be that. And I honestly think as the game progresses and goes on, I actually think that style of captain's going out the window more and more. I really do think
it's very 90s, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I'm not mentioning who I was going to mention, but Bruno, for example, I also think that could be a key point in getting him to stay. I'm not even saying he wants to leave. But what I mean is, like, even more faith, and we really want to build this club around you, which we are trying to do, give with time. We want you to be the captain. He leads by example on the field.
That's the main point.
Without doubt. He's at the heart of everything that we do. And every single player respects him. You can see that. Everyone loves him, right? Fans love him. We, you know, the players do. And for me, he's the standout candidate, like, if he could get that job. That's how I feel, personally.
So, do you know what it is? What you saw from Bruno and what you have seen recently is how mature he is as well on the field. As soon as we knew that another yellow card in his band, you get that the next game, he's done unbelievably well, just because we know how emotional he is on the field as well. Like,
he's very emotional.
Just kicked somebody, which we've seen him do a few times.
It made it horrendous. Like, sometimes I can't believe what I'm saying. You know, I think we played Arsenal at home, and he stitched him on the back of the head? Just ran past him and just...
It was a habit that he did that.
He's got to be careful.
It wasn't a habit, it was...
Jorginho,
that was the one.
So without doubt, I've criticised him for their moments, and he does play. We've seen him miss a penalty and get incredibly emotional. you know, when he missed and cried, he seemed to be crying every week. There was a stage where every week he was crying, right? But that, listen, I think if you give him the armband, believe it or not, you could even get more, you know, an extra 5% of him, because I just think that's how much he cares. Mm. And I think if you give him that option and said, we want you to be the captain of our club, I really feel that that to him would be even more like, oh, like, you know,
special
what I mean?
Moment, isn't it? That you probably don't get most clubs.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So for me, that'd be a no brainer. Like, for
me anyway. I'm with you. And like I said, I was speaking about this, thinking about this today. And the more you think about it, the more it makes sense.
I agree.
Because yes, he's leading by example, and that's the main thing. I'm in the same agreement with you. You don't need your captain to be effing and blind and screaming and calling orders on the field. If they're doing their job and they're basically carrying the team throughout difficult spells, which what Bruno is doing exactly to a T right now, that's what you want from the captain.
Yeah, like leading by example, and I think he does that every time he pulls his shirt on. So always, you know, always gives it his best. He's always trying to make things happen, willing to carry the ball, works hard. And you still see him now, you know, pointing fingers and, you know, applauding stuff, cheering stuff on, organising that. You still do that, you know what I mean?
Celebrated three thrones yesterday.
Well, he loves doing that. mate, I honestly think it makes... I can't see any negative to Victor.
Another feather in his cap, which will hopefully get him to sway and stay in on Tyneside, like you said. Well, we don't know if he's going, but everybody's expecting it'll be Bruno or Isak. That'll be the key figures that you're going to have to sell to spend more money. Those are the two players that you're looking at. Those are the ones that will probably be top of the list that other players will be sniffing around. Like you said, Isak looks like a perfect match for Arsenal, unfortunately. Oh. We want our team to be built around these players.
Because it would knock us back a lot. Because I don't think we can't pluck another Isak. Because the clubs that are wanting Isak can't find another Isak, if that makes sense. Yeah. So we aren't going to be able to.
That's gold dust.
So it's, you know, he's that good, and we need to try and keep a hold of them. And I think, you know, I shouldn't really read into these things too much, but I did see his tweet last night, and it was just a bit, I felt sorry for him, like, to be honest. Like, yeah, it was like an angry face, or like, and then it was like a picture of Morton away type of thing, but it was an angry face on the emoji. He probably didn't even tweet it. Probably someone else did for him, but
I honestly think Bruno has definitely got control of
But you know
some
what I mean?
The things that he's came out with, he definitely has control of that.
I just think he must be feeling it. He must be getting pissed off. But then again, let's look back at Saturday, and it's the greatest night ever. You know, we've had the greatest comeback ever. So the course is great moments and there's poor moments and blah, blah, blah. And probably players probably ride through that storm a lot easier than we do. Like, then probably go on to the next game. Yeah. Shit, but on to the next one. Do you know what I mean? But I would like to hope that he gives us one more year. When you see a captain, are you saying from the start of next season? Or do you mean future? I mean, in like whatever.
Depending on the situation with trips, because I would never want to take. But I'm saying change trips. Lascelles has got the captaincy, but you know what I mean. I think everybody's in agreement that Trippier is with captain, really.
Well, Lascelles is obviously in big trouble now with injuries and stuff for 9 months.
So I would never take the captaincy off trips. I wouldn't, because what he's done since he's came at his football club is second to none. I get that, but don't know the situation with Trippier in the summer. We don't know if he'll be here. After the summer, obviously, with the rumours, the links with buying in January. January. We don't know what his future is and what he has in store, if he's not going to move on to that final club before he retires, because he's mentioned that he wants to win more trophies in different leagues, and that might be his opportunity if Bayern are still sniffing around. If that was to happen, where Trips does leave, it's a no-brainer for me.
I'm the same.
People look like Alex Byrne because he's a local lad. People love going down and that route.
He's a sort of a general, isn't he? That with the documentary, Hal mentions it a lot that he, and rightfully is as well. Don't get us wrong. You can see Byrne's character. He is a leader. He is a leader, no doubt.
He's that 90s captain.
And he could become, in a sense, like what Lascelles is now. Like, he could be the club one in a way, from behind the scenes. I think Bruno's your captain, leading you out the tunnel, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
So if not Bruno, then who else do you think could be within the squad we've got?
I think that's when you start struggling, to be fair. Because a lot of people mentioned, like you said, the way Kompany went to City, then he was captain throughout.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would look at Botman. I just don't see it right now.
No, I don't see it at all.
I think Bruno's a perfect fit. I can't look at anybody else.
So the lads in the chat, three of them come straight back to us, didn't even break, and you know, both Joe Linton, all them said Joe Linton.
Yeah.
And I get it, because he's a raw charging on the field. I get that.
That's where my brain went.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it. I don't see Joe Linton with the captain's armband.
I don't personally. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, by the way. That's not the point I'm making. But they said Joe Linton. Aye, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a couple of shouts from Bro Linton, believe it or not. That is to Nalio Anderson. Not anytime soon.
Nah.
But can't say it, but Nalio doesn't like. I don't know when he's going
to
be back.
He may have bet on himself to be captain now. But no, for me, it just has to be Bruno. He's ever present. He's my key player. He's probably my most prized asset. It makes every single sense to me.
Yeah. We'll move on to our final talking point, unless anybody else has got any questions they want to throw in, and we'll go through them. But the next one and final one, Decker, is our injury wars. Is it just bad luck?
Absolutely not. No, not for me. And I've said this for weeks. Like it's. I just think that's such a lazy thing to say. Like it's just bad luck.
I got earlier on when people were saying, "Oh, it's bad luck," when there's three or four of them. Mm-hmm. We've got a full injured 11. Which could be as good as the starting 11 right now.
Yeah, but well, will be. Yeah, that is, and there's no way that it's all bad luck. Some of it's mismanagement, some of it's bad decisions. And I honestly, and I said this at the time, I said this a few weeks ago. Sorry, that there will be some sort of autopsy at the end of the season, and there'll be heads rolling, and there'll be a whole new medical staff, because things will be looked at that. Yes, I agree with you. There is bad luck. Thingy's injury. Tino's injury.
Yeah.
Ball hits him on the ankle.
Mm.
Absolutely bad luck.
Shut up.
There is absolutely bad luck happens in football, and that is point in case in point. But I think you can't have this many injuries. I mean, we've had two ACLs happen within a couple of days, it feels like.
Yeah.
One of them, I think we've mismanaged. The other one is probably bad luck. Do you know what I mean? I'm certainly not sitting here saying that. Is it house training methods that's given them injuries? I'm not saying that.
Well, having said that, Degger, it has followed him.
Well, it could be that. Mm. It could be, because Bournemouth was exact. I remember reading all the articles because I went back over about Bournemouth.
Nine on exactly the same.
Identical. 19 players injured and struggling to stay up in the division and, blah, blah. So something needs to be looked at, yes, because it can't all be bad luck.
Mm.
It can't be. Now, what I would say, if you're one of these people that believes that, okay, all right, let's see what happens next season then.
What? Because, believe that it is bad luck?
Yeah, if people are just saying it's just bad luck and that's it, I would look at two things. One, how much changes in the medical staff room in terms of what changes are made, and then what happens next season? Because I think some of it could go hand in hand, because I'm telling you, if there isn't many changes and everyone thinks it's bad luck and we continue to next season, we have a fresh squad back, so we're ready to go in the summer and we'll get to Christmas and we've got 15 injuries, there's definitely something going on. Mm.
It's such a strange one, and yes, we understand a lot of them have been bad luck, like Decker mentioned, the Tino one, the broken back, which we're seeing, which was Anderson and Byrne did that, dislocated shoulders, we've had Pope do that, and Jacob Murphy do it twice. The second one comes down to what we'll go back to,
mismanagement
of it, where we literally allow him to go on, when you could see in the warm-up that he wasn't comfortable, but once again, well, just go on, just run out, have take 10 steps, out it pops.
So say, Willick, I still think we'll mismanage that, we'll bring him back, not saying too early, but we'll allow him to play too many games, too many minutes, too quickly, bang, breaks down again.
And it just seems like that not going to affect where one of them goes out, it's just like a revolving door, isn't it? One of them goes out, gets rushed back, then the next one's injured, then it's the same process again. It's just reoccurring injuries throughout the squad now.
Yeah, and it felt that way, didn't it? Because when we were saying, he's going to be back, and he's going to be back on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But then by the time the game ended, we lost another two. And
I think it was, wasn't it? Willick's back. Then Joe Linton's injured against Sunderland. What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely right. And I think it'll be looked at. I say looked at the end of the season. It'll be getting looked at now, I would hope. Mm. But I definitely think when the season ends, they'll take stock and try to assess what can we do better? And to be fair, right? Even if you had no injuries, what can you do better? You should do that in every single operation of the football club. So. But I definitely think that'll be high on the list. Like, what has happened with all these injuries and how can we improve?
Mm. Do you have anything else, Decker, that you want to go through? Any burning desire to mention anything which has happened over the last couple of days?
Maybe one, but I will say I haven't done any research on that. I've been so busy with work. But the Dan Ashworth situation, well, potential, or the Man United. Yes. So I'll say the Man United potential link.
So this cropped up when just after we finished recording on Monday night, wasn't it? We sat here and you showed your phone, and it's a Man United of looking elsewhere and inquired about which
Jason Wilcox. It's a good left winger for Blackburn back
then. So look at potentially hiring him for the role that we apparently thought Dan Isher was walking into.
Mm.
Where does that leave him now? What is happening,
mate? It really stunned me. Like,
do you welcome him back in and say, let's say the scenario. Really, it's probably a good scenario for us that Man U look elsewhere, right? Then Dan Ashworth comes back in. Do you then go, all right, fine, forget it, just come back in? Or do you go, actually, we need to start continuing to look elsewhere? But then do you go down the route of, you've got to sack him? Even though he was ready to turn his back on. It's mental situation. Hence why we're putting him on garden leave when there was no actual official inquiry from Man United at that point.
Yeah. It's a tough one, mate. It's a tough one. Now, obviously, maybe someone in the comments here may be further ahead than I am in terms of knowledge on this. But I know Jason Wilcox has resigned from his post at Southampton because I think there was some sort of clause in there where Man United would be sort of in an issue again. Not garden leave necessarily, but anyway. So he decided, right, I'm just going to leave then. Mm. So basically, come and get his Man United.
There is a couple of comments that came in saying, the first one from Chris Jenner that says, was the Ashworth thing not an April's Fool? There was another one saying, are they not two separate roles? We know the powerhouse that Man United are. They'll have a lot of people doing different things. But having said that, it's gone unbelievably quiet. So let's say nothing's happening. There's still the talks behind the scenes between Man United and Dan Ashworth. It's going on a long time now. Mm-hmm. Like, at what point do we expect to move on?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I do, I don't know who mentioned that comment, but it's a very good one. And I did think that maybe it's two separate roles, that he'll be technical director, Jason Wilcox, and then you'll have still him as a director of football. Because I think that we'll have different pieces of the puzzle. Whereas maybe at our place, you would maybe say, other than the marketing side's taken care of from...
Silverstone.
Yeah, maybe that's what it might be. It might be that. But I was under the impression that Ashworth was going to be the technical director, slash director of football. And then with him being linked with Wilcox, Jason Wilcox, what he did at Southampton, I felt as if, does that mean the Ashworth rumours are a bit dead? But I agree with you that it's went so quiet that we still need to have someone in that position. Mm. We still need that job to be getting done. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So who's doing it now? And what's the future look for us?
So apparently the roles of the comments that are coming in, that apparently Ashworth, it's from Danny Ringlick, yeah, that's his, Ashworth was going to be sporting director and Wilcox was going to be director of football. So yes, they're different roles. Sporting and director is kind of what Ashworth was doing really. Mm. Where it was his, yeah, just he kept on mentioning the wheels and different spokes coming off the wheels and so on. It still leads you back to the whole dynamics and everything which was happening at that time. Like, we've put an employee on garden leave, and we know the reason for it because he's got access to certain things which happen behind the scenes and so on and so on and so on. We need to get this addressed straight away. Because as far as I know, there's still be no official approach from Man United.
No, obviously the club must have had unbelievable evidence that they were after him. Conversations had taken place, and probably Ashworth's, I could be wrong here, but did he not even say that he wanted to talk to them or he was willing to go or something like that anyway? But there has to be a line in the sand where we need to understand, right, this is what we're going to do moving forward, because you kind of just keep going on like this all the time.
Yeah.
We need this position
filled.
We'll
just wait for you to sort your career out.
Exactly, yeah. It's mad, isn't it? Yeah, so I just thought the Wilcox one, and it's a good point that it's probably a different role and it's all part of the same sort of, not board, but the same sort of team they're trying to put together. But it's an interesting one. I just think for our benefit, we need it to be solved as quick as possible. Mm. Really.
One thing which I did want to mention, the upcoming game, Newcastle against Spurs, Salah have donated the front of the shirt to a charity.
That's right.
We don't know what charity it is yet. No. We don't know if it's going to be a local charity like Sir Bobby Robson.
I think it's just
a
local on the thing. I think it said local.
Sir Bobby Robson. I would imagine it'll probably go to Newcastle United Foundation. That's what I would imagine will go on the front of the shirt.
Yeah.
But it's great. We've seen the other clubs do this recently, haven't we? Where they'll just donate it for one match.
Yeah, I think it's good crack by Salah, to be fair, because not all sponsors would want their shirt to be off for a game. It's one game, right? So it wouldn't make that much difference.
And it is a big game against Spurs.
Oh, it is. It'll be televised and stuff as well. I think in a weird way, it almost gets you to talk about the sponsor that's getting taken off the shirt more, because it's like, oh, Salah.
We would have never mentioned that night.
You know what I'm
saying? We would never said the word Salah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So in a weird way, it advertises them more, but not really, really good. And I think the reason why I think I like it, right? It's like what you're trying to do something which, and I could be wrong here, by the way, so I apologize if I am, but I haven't maybe seen another club do that recently, like that have taken like the sponsor off the front and put a charity on it?
There has been one recently. I can't remember which one it was. We've seen a couple go sponsorless for
sponsorless, yes, I've definitely seen that. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure there has been one recently in the last season. I saw one of the Premier League teams. I can't remember which one it was, but there has been one that's put a charity on the front.
Well, I feel it quite, it's quite a fresh idea and it's a new approach. And I love that. I think it's a fantastic gesture. And, you know, I don't know exactly how much money will be raised or how it's getting. I don't know if Salah just paid. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work.
I don't think there'll be any sort of donation, as in physical donation of money from the club or from the sponsor. I think it'll just be a donation of, he has the shirt, put your logo on it.
And it'll be all over. That's fair crack. So not really, really good. Great,
It's great. Greatest to do it. And it also leads down the route of thinking, actually, this could happen on a training shirt as well.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? If it's almost like a free sponsor in that sense, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
There's a couple of shouts out saying Forest had a sponsor, a charity, whilst they were looking for a sponsor.
Oh yes, yes, that's right. Yeah. They did, didn't they? Yeah.
And apparently Liverpool have done it as well. Apparently so.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
I'm just taking the comments. If anybody could put anything in there, and I would read it out.
And listen, obviously I'm wrong that we're not gonna be the first. I didn't think we'd be the first, that's for damn sure. I didn't think that, but I do think it's a really nice gesture to do. It's great.
Well, that's us done. I've been going for nearly an hour, almost.
Really?
An hour.
God, quick.
Yes, I know. It flies over. It flies over.
So it's only 6:30? Is it?
Well, it's 10:15 according to that clock.
Jesus, 7:15.
Thanks, everybody, who has joined us for this live recording.
I'm going for a kebab,
well.
I actually am.
Well. Thank you. It's been a pleasure, as always. Just like the video, it means a lot to us. Become a subscriber. Like I mentioned earlier on, if you do want extra content and you want early access to videos and you want access to that Telegram group as well, which we arrange meetups and things like that in there, it is just $2.99 a month. There will be a link on the bottom of this one, or just click join as well on YouTube. If you're listening to the audio, if you listen back over, just give us a 5-star rating as well. Just leave a little comment there. It means a lot to us. Buy Dagger a new mic as well. $2.99 a month. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
See you later. Ta-ra.
Podcast Network.